T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
James is, you know, gives us great leadership, both on and off the field. If he doesn't say anything, you just watch what he does.
Third and 10. Set it up to the flat. James White. Oh, what a move! James White with a first down. Elusive on the catch and run.
White takes a block.
Still going. Stays on his feet. And White will score. Touchdown, New England. A 23-yard scamper for James White.
He's the man, and he knows every little thing about the offense. If I ever struggle in the huddle, he's like, yep, here it is. Like, he kind of knows the call, too. He's just really calm, cool, and collected guy. And I know that I can trust him because he's doing the right thing 99.9% of the time.
Connection made. It's James White with the angle. Touchdown, New England. Second touchdown of the day for White.
It's White. Look at him leave for six.
I think you're going to get a new car in a few minutes. Any plans for that? I think you already have a car you like. What are you going to do with the new one?
I think James White probably.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that's the pick, I think.
Five on the line. Brady gets the snap, spins, hands off White. Knifes in, touchdown, New England. 1 yard touchdown, White. It's a 2-point game with 57 seconds remaining.
Yeah, he deserves it. What a game he had, man. That was unbelievable.
Toss to White.
There from Ryan, our producer. Outstanding, Ryan Garvin. Fantastic. Of course, James White announcing his retirement. What do you say, Foyer?
Hello, Lou.
What do you say, Mego?
What's going on?
We are out here in my homeland of Framingham. Mm-hmm. Chilling at La Cantina Restaurant, of course, down here in, I think it's 911 Waverly Street. We're up 135. Come on down. Say hi to us. We're going to be down here all day long, 2 to 6. The Patriots get ready to open up preseason tonight at Gillette against the Giants. But, of course, we're going to start with the James White retirement news. It started with a tweet, and he sent out a long tweet, well thought of tweet. I'll just read a little bit of it, because he starts off and says, "It's been an honor to represent my family, teammates, and people in New England as a Patriot. Reflecting on my 9 years in the NFL and all the sacrifices it took to get here, there are many people that were just as much part of this journey." He goes on thanking everybody. Guys, I'm not sure we're surprised by this, but like anything else, when it's official, it sort of hits home. This guy was a stud.
Yeah, you know, and just, you know, there was a lot of Super Bowl. What the number was that? The Atlanta Super Bowl. I don't even know what it is.
All you have to say is 28-3.
28-3. The 28-3, the greatest comeback in the history of the NFL, in the Super Bowl. A lot of sound bites from that game. Just so, as far as stats go, he had 14 catches in that game. That was a Super Bowl record. 110 receiving yards, 1 receiving TD, 29 rushing yards, 2 rushing TDs, a 2-point conversion. Like, the dude should have won the MVP.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
He should have won the MVP as far as the amount of points that he contributed to that game and the gotta-have-a-plays that he had. Easily one of the best Super Bowl performance outside of a quarterback in NFL history.
Absolutely. Super Bowl 51 is what was. James White, I will remember him as being just someone who was always under the radar great. Just the most dependable Patriot towards the end of Brady's final chapter there, and somebody who is always, always, always available. I mean, he was a soft-spoken guy. He was definitely always a leader in the locker room, but always available to us as media, whether it was a bad game for the team or, you know, things isn't going well or their way or anything. Didn't matter. Always there. Always at his locker. Always at the podium. Just very much appreciate that.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, you said he's always reliable. Yes, I would say even Tom Brady, I don't know when it was, had mentioned, you know, just paraphrasing here, how James White never gets yelled at. Out of everybody on the team, James White is the one guy that doesn't get yelled at. Why? Because he's always where he's supposed to be. He's always in the right spot. He's always creating the best space. And is this – I don't even know if this is true. I heard this on Sirius XM Radio, that he never lost a fumble in 8 years. He may have fumbled it, but he never lost it. So he has never been credited with losing a fumble?
I think I saw Field Yates tweet something like that, too.
That is remarkable.
No wonder Bill loves him so much.
I mean, isn't he the poster child? I mean, seriously, now you know why. Here's one guy that got scared straight. Like, he was like, I ain't fumbling the ball. Right. He may have fumbled it, but he never actually – they were never really hurt by anything that he fumbled because they always got it back.
Nah, and you look at it. You mentioned that Super Bowl, which everybody remember, the 28-3 Super Bowl. But that run – that last one there, when they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, if you remember that first game against the Chargers, he had 15 receptions. Like 15 receptions, 17 targets, 97 yards. Like,
wow, that's percentage.
It's funny because I remember I was at that game, and the Chargers were supposed to be coming in as like this wagon behind Phil Rivers and everything that year, and it was like, nope.
13 catches. No,
That's remarkable.
They've had an amazing run. You know, we were talking earlier, and I was kind of looking at starting with Kevin Faulk, and you had thrown out J.R. Redmond even before that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like Faulk, and then there was a little Danny Woodhead piece, and then Shane Vereen and James White. It was always – they always had a guy, may not be, you know, pro bowler or whatever, but they always had an amazing third down back to turn to. When receivers were down, you know, Edelman was hurt or Gronk was hurt, well, you could expect – James White to have a big game out of the backfield, right? The screen passes. It was just, I mean, he was one of the great Patriots. There's no question about it. It'd be a red jacket.
Well, the thing that is just really amazing is, so when James White was in college at Wisconsin, it was him and I think it was Melvin Gordon. Okay, so Melvin Gordon was your big back. He was getting the majority of the carries, but James White was not a receiving back. I mean, he was still between the tackles running back, undersized, but still they didn't use him as this third down threat. He comes into the NFL, and he becomes just a specialist. And then he becomes a first and second down back. So just like Kevin Faulk, because the thing about Kevin Faulk was he morphed into this guy that, listen, he can run the ball on first and second down. Nothing changes. You want to go sub? You want to go some sort of, like, split back? You want to do some sort of empty package or something like that? He can still run it. And that's what James White became. Like, he became, like, that Kevin Faulk, who I really – credit for really creating the importance of that position. I mentioned J.R. Redmond because that Super Bowl, that first Super Bowl, he was the third down back on the field when they went down the field and Adam Bennett kicked that field goal. It was J.R. Redmond's job. But Kevin Faulk wasn't ready to kind of take it over, just like every other third down back that has come through here, especially in the draft. They don't play at first. They sit, and then they play.
And, you know, before the show, we were sitting here at the lovely La Cantina in Framingham where we are, and they're feeding us very well.
Already.
It's
Fourier.
Beautiful day.
Glassy-eyed already.
In the sports tent out here.
So good.
But we were talking, sitting at the bar right before we came on the show, and talking about how, to what Lou is saying there, that third down back is something that they've always just churned through in under Bill Belichick. It's always been there. And it's kind of like the slot receiver, right? Where they just kind of hit on slot receiver after slot receiver, and it's just become these dependable areas of the offense. And now as the offense is changing, you look at, okay, James White is definitely not coming back. Is there anybody who can step into those shoes this season? Like, I'm not sure that there is any clear-cut answer. We hear a lot about Ramondre, and I know people look at J.J. Taylor. Yeah, and his little size, and that they brought him on last year, maybe thinking that he'd be a little bit of that mode, but and nobody has really cracked that yet.
It is amazing. We talk about, like, how they've always had that sort of elite guy, right? Whether it's just a dependable guy at that third down back and you know, in the slot, whether, you know, you go forever. Troy Brown, Welker, Edelman. And now I sort of feel like they're walking into this year without either one.
Right.
It's like these two dependable pieces that you felt when you think of the Patriot offense, you think third down back and slot receiver. and you're sort of walking into it saying, okay, it's a complete rebuild, I guess. I don't know. We're trying to search for one. And it really has never been the case, because when Falk was here, you brought Woodhead. And then all of a sudden, Vereen came, but he sat for a year when Woodhead was doing his thing. And then James White was drafted. He sat for a year when Vereen was doing his thing. So it was always like, Deion Lewis was
there's
there.
Always a succession plan. And somebody being like an sitting. Apprentice
yeah,
behind
like
the other person.
Waiting, watching, and then the next year he pops.
Don't you think
I don't
that,
know
like,
who that could be this year.
You just listed off these names. They were Deion Lewis was awesome.
Deion Lewis, yeah.
He was great at it. He had that knee injury, then he leaves, and he comes back. He may have been my favorite as far as shiftiness, but he just couldn't stay healthy. Vereen couldn't catch a pass to save his life. Every time they ran that wheel route, he would drop it. Every single time, back to the flat, wheel it up the sideline, he would drop the pass. I was like, there's no way they're throwing it to him again. And sure enough, he earned the trust of Tom. But it's amazing how they have been able to just lose a guy, replace a guy, lose a guy, replace a guy. And listen, James White was special, but Shane Vereen was pretty damn good. Deion Lewis was great. Danny Woodhead was great. Kevin Falk obviously was great. I mean, but it doesn't matter. You know why it doesn't matter? Because they've changed the offense. They've changed the offense.
Well, just getting back to James White, I mean, Robert Kraft sent out a statement. Said James White has always been one of the most reliable, dependable players in the field. He's a soft-spoken leader, led by example, was the best at what he did, leading all NFL running backs, receptions, receiving touchdowns over the past 7 years. Our fans will remain eternally grateful for his record-setting performance in Super Bowl 51 when he helped the Patriots overcome 28-3 by scoring 20 points in the game-winning touchdown in overtime. And he goes on and speaks glowingly of him, of course. And I also think that was like the only Super Bowl that's ever been walked off by a running, by a running play by James White.
Yes.
So it's just, he walked it off, basically, running the ball in. He was a great guy. No question, he's like a red jacket, right? Like he may have to wait 15
first
years.
First ballot. Oh, yeah.
But I'm just saying, he's going to beat out, I don't know, when's his first ballot? He's going to beat out Gronk? Both retired the same year.
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, I would say so. I mean, but Gronk's
beat out Edelman?
Gronk's got a head start. Well, you're right. Like, who's in front of him then?
That's what I'm just saying. This guy's
guys like Vrabel and Bill Parcells, they're never going to get in. Never going to get in.
Well,
those
5 years
never
from now, it's like you start looking and say he's definitely a red jacket, and he will be eventually, just like Gronk will be and Edelman will be. But it's
I'm Julian Edelman.
Does he have to wait two or three or four years?
Those guys will be eligible before him, so it could easily be a lineup of Edelman and then Gronk. And then James White.
Well, I think
then McCourty is going to retire. Then,
I think he and Gronk are the same year. They both retired this year.
Yeah.
They both retired this year.
So you're right.
Because like Gronk technically retired in 22.
Yeah. This is it. This is it for him. So I guess it isn't like when you leave the Patriots. It's when you actually physically declare yourself Dunsky.
All right. Well, listen, we'll get into a lot of it, too, because we've got some sound from Bill Belichick and Mac Jones from last year talking about the importance of one James White. But for you, I'm a little worried because I know yesterday you had some medication working now. So you felt a little down, a little loopy. You just ate some veal, I think, eggplant parm or chicken parm on a plate.
It's the best. It's the best drug imaginable.
What makes you a little more lightheaded? Like the painkiller and the muscle relaxer, or what the plate that you just ate? Because I'm sure you're going to be asking for some desserts
here
in about an hour.
What makes me more relaxed? Is that the question?
Or just pass out, like in a food coma.
Well, see, what I'm trying to do is really kind of ration and regulate how much I eat.
Yeah.
Because I have a tendency to just, like, gorge myself and then fall asleep.
Yeah.
But I think I'm pacing myself pretty good. Oh, right? Okay. I mean, I didn't eat the whole plate.
Oh, you did it. Okay. I just saw the plate go away, so I assume that you put it all away.
Like Lou tried to waste all the tripe sauce.
I came out right away with the tripe.
Yeah, and I said he was going to toss it. He's going to waste it.
Bowl of tripe. Thank you.
Lou's freaky.
Yeah, tripe right away.
With that tripe.
It's just not my thing.
Thanks for clarifying.
It's not my thing. The tripe is not my thing.
I didn't realize how hopped up Christian was yesterday. And
me either.
We were texting, and Christian goes, Durant added Celtics to his list? Like, what the hell? And we're like, dude, we did a whole segment. Really? We did like 20 minutes on that yesterday.
You were on air.
I was.
I left. I was in such a good mood.
Back was feeling good until about 4:30, and you mentioned, like, wow, this thing's like wearing off just a little bit over here.
At 6 o'clock, Christian was, like, walking around the Fenway studio shaking people's hands, being like, what a great show today.
I was like, Tyler, man, I love you, man. I was like, Tyler, I love you.
You did some ayahuasca there, maybe, in that
4:30
hour.
No, here's the thing. You mentioned the food.
Yeah.
After I ate this, like, Aaron Rodgers is a dope. You don't need to take some stupid drug where you're on a mental high for like 3 days straight.
That's
just
what
come
I
to La Cantina, get some veal, get some chicken parm, get yourself some tripe. Then you'll know what it's like to feel loved.
Did you feel
the
like
sensation
you had 100
of feeling 100 different yes. hands on my body?
Yeah, that's the way I feel. They're all over me, all you guys.
All right, come on down if you're in the poor area. Problem. Say hi to us. All right, listen, when we come back again, like I said, Mac Jones, Bill Belichick last year talking about the importance of one James White. And we got football here tonight. What should we expect? We'll do it all. It's Maloney, Foria, and Mago down here at La Cantina in Framingham. Come on by.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to Maloney, Foria, and Mago on WEEI.
You know, and meeting him all the way back in OTAs, like, he was just, he's the man, and he knows every little thing about the offense. If I ever struggle in the huddle, he's like, yep, here it is. Like, he kind of knows the call, too, so he helps me out. And that's something that I always kind of look at him in the huddle if I'm struggling or anything like that, because he's just really calm, cool, and collected guy. And he makes plays when the ball's in his hands, and all of our running backs do. And I think James, definitely just being older, he knows the system, and I know that I can trust him because he's doing the right thing 99.9% of the time. So
that was Mac Jones back last September talking about James White. He said when he's struggling in the huddle, he looks to James White because he knows all the plays. Now, hopefully year two,
yeah,
he won't struggle in the huddle. But James White will not be there. And it's just another veteran. You know, it looks like Hightower. He's gone, yeah. Right? Like James White, just another veteran off of this team on the field.
You know what? That is kind of make me laugh a little bit because they're for young quarterbacks, they usually do rely on like a vet who knows the plays and is used to hearing it. Because as you're calling the play, you want to make sure you pay attention to everybody. You're really looking at one guy and you're looking for like – you know,
confirmation.
Is he? Nope.
Did I call the right play?
Nope. Okay. And you're like, yeah. No. Change that one. Emphasis. No. Go back. That's wrong.
Yeah.
It's got to be this. So, I mean, and who knows better than him?
Yeah, I know.
Like, if you're going to run the Tom Brady, even Josh McDaniels offense, he's the best person to know. And yeah. If you don't have a tight end, because I would say that would be the other position.
You bring up the Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels offense, and we know that they're in the process of changing over, trying to install a new offense.
Trying to ruin the offense.
But I also think that this is just, to me, it's like such an extreme page turn. I know it's just one player, but from the Tom Brady chapter.
Yeah.
Because who's left on that offense from Brady's era. It's really just David Andrews at this point, right?
That's it.
Who else
is Jacoby was there, technically.
Yeah.
Right?
Jacoby was like, that was like the 19th
He was
season.
Getting his feet wet. He was just catching everything. He only had like
Trent
20
Brown.
Catches. But Trent Brown, big. He was there also. No,
but you're changing.
I mean, isn't that,
but you are changing.
Isn't
right?
that kind of like a stark difference, though? If you think about a couple years now, it's just, you, it's not like you have an Edelman, a dependable receiver, a James White. Like, none of these guys for Matt.
No, this is a complete new build. I mean, we starting scratch and very green with coaches to an offense. Like, a New England Patriot offense, they'll find those guys, right? But even if Jacoby Myers is your slot receiver. Oh, you know, your go-to guy. It's not Welker. It's not Edelman. You know, I don't know who your third down back will be, but will it be James White, Shane Vereen, Marshall Faulk? So these are just spots that when you think Patriots offense, those are two lockdown positions. And you look at this year's team, and you don't really have either one of them.
No, you don't. But I think our issues when we name these names are usually, this is a bigger picture as far as, like, the succession plan. They've been so good as one guy leaves, another guy replaces him. Not like in the spur of the moment. Like, he's had a year under his belt to kind of figure it out.
So maybe
he's
not really worried about it.
I mean, maybe. Maybe it's a Pierre Strong. Maybe it's J.J. Taylor. Maybe it's one of those guys that J.J. Taylor saw limited action, was active a couple times. You were like, okay, I'm intrigued by that guy. Ramondre Stevenson is like a big back with third down back capabilities, and I thought James White was a third down back with big back capabilities.
Well, last year, who was it? Last year, but the James White injury,
It was Brandon Bolden. And
we sat
and
there.
And he did
like,
a fine job.
He actually got better.
He started slow as hell.
He started off, and you're like, slowest running back I've ever seen.
But then he did all right.
Yeah. No, he did. He
caught
made
the ball.
Up for it. Yeah.
He did. He caught
he
the ball.
He became better.
Bill Belichick, Mac Jones was the only one that he praised on him. Now, Bill, I'm sure, will address the James White retirement, but this was Bill last year, last August, praising James White and his leadership.
James is, you know, gives us great leadership. If he doesn't say anything, you just watch what he does. He provides great leadership by his actions. You know, as a coaching staff, he's, you know, one of the players that that I love to talk to. How are things going? How do you think we're doing? You know, where are we on this or where are we on that? And he's very honest and he has a good perspective. You know, it's not too high, not too low. It's kind of honest. You know, and helpful, and it helps me, and you know, prepare, and I would say manage the team. And you know, I've always done that with the players that I felt like had a good pulse on things, and he's certainly one of those guys.
You know, it's funny hearing him talking about like the value of James White and the leadership. And when you think about it, and you go back, you just mentioned it, like as far as Tom Brady, you know, like who's here from the Tom Brady offense. Like in three years, the last 3 or 4 years, you could look at it and say, you know, other than some coaches, young coaches have been around, it's really just Bill. You know,
I guess you could say Brian Hoyer.
Well, I'm just saying, like, Scar's gone. Ivan Fears, Scar, you know, McDaniels. Like, I'm just saying, like, veterans,
Ernie
coaches,
Adams.
Ernie Adams.
Oh, yeah.
Like
oh, this is how it goes. It's not don't fall off a cliff.
Different.
It's a slow bleed, right? Don't you like these types
you
of teams.
You slide down the hill.
Yeah, you don't just fall off the cliff. It is a slow death. That is what legacy teams, dynasty teams, that's what they look like. They don't just go from, like, dominating to just, no, this guy gets hurt, he misses a season, this quarterback, this leader, this position, his contract's up, you try to replace him, he can't do it. Next thing you know, you have three veteran linebackers all leave. Great leadership, great accountability. They all leave, and now you're trying to replace them. And now you lose James White. Now I would think they would be prepared for this because he barely played at all last year.
Yeah.
He was hurt early in the season. He missed like, you know, 90% of the year.
Sorry, hold on.
The J.J.
Taylor hype train's coming by.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, you want to jump in?
That's the J.J. Taylor hype train coming by.
Because I feel like you're driving the J.J. Taylor hype train.
That is one silver lining. Look, I love covering James White. Fantastic Patriot. Can talk about that all day, but when I think about what this opens up in the silver lining, now that was a very crowded running back room.
Last year?
Very packed. No, even this year. It's very crowded.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this does give the entry into J.J. Taylor, my guy.
Can I ask you a question about J.J.?
Yeah.
Why was he introduced last year as that guy?
Why wasn't he?
I mean, had Brandon Bolden.
Too young.
And like we said, he worked. He worked. As the season went on, he was okay. He was good enough. Whatever, right? Whatever you want to call that. But you would have thought if he was ready last year, It would have been a perfect time for him.
Nope. They haven't really unlocked JJ yet. Like, I thought that they would have him on they returns more. Him. But it, the best
about
that...
About to release him.
The best that he's looked is when... The best that he's looked is when they look like they were trying to light a fire under Sony Michel. And they throw JJ out for, you know, like a play or two, and he'd pick up some significant yards, and then Sony would look at himself like, oh, crap. Like, I got to do
but
something.
But was that, is that what, like you said, Christian, was that that Shane Vereen, James White year for JJ Taylor? Because you looked at it and said it's a great opportunity for him now to step up. He doesn't. Is it like the learning year for J.J. Taylor and you expect more from him this year? It's all speculation because we maybe you speculate that he could be the guy this year and that's the path that everyone has taken.
I don't think they're going to release him
Or he could be released
now.
In about 2 weeks.
I don't think they're going to release him now. I don't.
Why?
Because I think he has more experience. They brought in these two running backs, which we'll get to, about who we're interested in watching tonight. Since yeah. apparently none of the starters are playing, which is its own subject that we need to get to, but I think that they need him. I think that they're going to try to work him in either as a returner or in some kind of third down role.
Well, I would say
because there is
any
no
of those,
clear-cut successor.
If you're well, I mean, hey, listen, it's a great opportunity for one of these guys to kind of just take advantage of this unbelievable opportunity. Because whether or not this new system works, the back. Why would they move away from the back? I don't get it. Like, why would they move away from the back being part of the passing game? It's always – listen, even every passing, every, like, good team, regardless, is like your back being the outlet, being your safety net is just ridiculously all right, opportunistic.
So let's get to the game tonight because the Patriots are opening up their preseason against the New York Giants. This from Mike Reese, quarterback Mac Jones, and most Patriots starters aren't expected to play in tonight's preseason opener. Sources tell me and Dan Graziano of ESPN joint practices against the Panthers next week and then the Raiders the following week. I think he threw that little bit in there because, as we all know, the joint practices is when the starters really get all the work. But we are down to three preseason games now, not four.
Yep.
So this is really almost, you know, preseason game number two. And none of the starters are going to be in. Now, he has projections for tonight. Like, I don't know where Reese kind of got this. Maybe he got tipped off. I know he's tied in. But he's looking at, like, none of the starting offensive linemen are in, none of them, projected at least. Brian Hoyer, Billy Zappi, looks like they're going to be a quarterback. He has Tyler Thornton, Tyquan Thornton, and Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Lil Jordan.
Christian Wilkerson will be seen. Trey Nixon, I think, who's been interesting to some. Josh Hammond. And then you got the running backs, Kevin Harris, Pierre Strong, the two draft picks. And defensively, the same thing. A lot of our guys that we're looking close at, like LeBryant Ray, Jeremiah Farms, DeMarcus
Mitchell.
Let's go, Mitchell.
Farms.
They do have
Tonight's
your guy.
Your night.
Cody okay, where's Russi, my guy?
Cody Russi,
are all
center.
Our guys playing?
Yep, all of our undrafted free agents.
Who is your guy? Do you even
Cody,
remember who you have?
I forgot.
So as a reminder to the audience who may not have been listening to this the other day, we drafted undrafted free agents. Yep. So there's five free agents who went undrafted, who are still on the roster, and there's 18 years that Bill Belichick has had one of these guys make the roster, mm-hmm. the final 53.
Yep.
So one of us is most likely going to have our guy on the roster. Yep. Now, I think I picked the slowest horse.
What was your guy again?
Farms.
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 With a PH.
Jeremiah Farms. I had DeMarcus.
University.
I had DeMarcus Mitchell. Who's
I don't think it's even university. It's just
who do you have, Lou?
I have DeMarcus Mitchell, outside linebacker. You have Cody Russi. Cody Russi, a center, Christian.
And he's not backing. I believe starting.
Ryan has Brendan Schooler, the special teamer.
No, I have Brendan Schooler.
Oh, you do.
He is LeBryan Ray, the number one seed, according to my grease. Yeah.
So annoying. So annoying,
we'll be
Ryan
keeping our
that.
Eyes out at some of these guys. But I want to get to the fact that no starters – are in there, Christian. Do you have a problem with
I
that?
I do have a problem with one particular position, and I don't understand why Bill is so soft on this, with Cole Strange not starting at left guard. Like, I get the whole, they're going to have practices next week, but what happened to, like, if this guy was 30 years old and he was polished, I would say, he didn't have to play at all. He went to a small school. He needs as many opportunities to fail as possible.
Yeah.
They should start him and give him the first half. I mean, unless they just think he's going to get some lamb, he's not going to benefit from any of that stuff, and they'd rather him wait.
The Giants are going to play their guys if they're healthy?
What I heard was that Brian Daboll said for everyone who's healthy is going to play.
Yeah.
First year. But listen, he's a first-year head coach. Like, all these guys need to impress him. Like, those guys are going to play. Bill is a different way of doing things. I just think – I'm just amazed at the fact that Cole Strange is not at least getting just for like, hey, you're no special than anybody else. You're a freaking rookie. You're going to do what rookies do.
All the rookies are in there.
And you need the reps, dude.
All the rookies' draft picks are in there.
I want you to get confidence. I want you to dominate somebody. Just work on your steps. Give me three series, and then we'll sit you. I just feel like that's odd to me.
The Cole Strange decision is inexplicable to me. But I'm also wondering, why can't they throw the starters in for a couple of snaps? Because they're installing a new offense and everything. Like, don't you want to get as much different experience as you can? Or is it that the offense really looks so, like, rickety that you don't even want it out there, what they're trying to do?
You know what I think it is? I do think it is. I feel like Bill mentioned this. We talked to Bill about this as far as, like, the young guys, it's harder to evaluate young players now based on the limited time you have with them at practice and to coach them and to be around them. Like, they're the ones that need all the work. It's like the vets who you can say, listen, we're going to give you a bunch of reps next week and a bunch of reps the week after that. You should be ready.
Yeah.
Like, all these guys that are playing, that's like the 50th spot, the 51st spot, the 52nd spot, the 53rd spot, and a couple of, practice squad guys. Yeah. But not Cole Strange.
No, you're right. I mean, because I think Bill's one of those guys that didn't want to see, the extra preseason go away. He said, and you're right, he's talked about that before. It's harder to evaluate these guys. These undrafted free agents that not only have made the team, but have been really impact players for the New England Patriots. Like the bottom end of that roster. So this is how he's approaching it. Now, it's one less game, but they do have two of those little joint practices where we know it's going to be pretty much all starters in a controlled environment. So maybe that is just it.
I know. And you're right, though. I mean, I just felt like him being so – and maybe he's just changed the way he views this stuff, that he would try and take an old-school approach, especially for the rookies. That's it. Like, Tyquan Thornton needs to be out there and playing. Mm. Like, all these guys, all the running backs need to go out. They need to get – the backs especially need to get tackled. They need to get hit. Like, the receivers need to understand – like, what the whole goal is.
Let me go to Mike Tannenbaum. He was on Get Up this morning, and these guys, both of them, he and Damian Woody, were talking about this approach by Bill Belichick. This is what Tannenbaum had to say about Mac Jones in particular.
Yes, he should. They're going to have a new offensive play caller, which nobody really knows who that is. Is that Joe Judge? Is that Bill Belichick himself? Is it Matt Patricia? So, again, we talked about getting reps for Deshaun Watson. Very similarly, I would get reps for Mac Jones in a game situation. He's going to be hearing somebody new in his helmet. After the rookie year, it was Josh McDaniels. So, to me, again, I would be out there with the first offensive line, maybe get 15 plays, get out there, don't turn the ball over, no pre-snap penalties. You don't have to be there out there a lot, but you want to get some momentum heading into next 2 weeks of preseason.
See, I think that's a good point, and it's not just if Josh McDaniels was there, it's actually spring training here or training camp for Matt Patricia. Like, mm-hmm. Tonight's his first time he's going to have his little headset on. We'll find out if he's upstairs. We'll find out if he's on the field. We'll find out who sits next to Billy Zappi or Brian Hoyer when they come off the field. But it's reps for him, too, to kind of get comfortable in the flow of this thing. It kind of makes sense putting Mac out there for a series with this offense to even let Matt Patricia work on this communication that Mac has talked about.
Yeah, I know, and it's the whole like ramping up part. Like, I don't agree with, like, that's whatever. There's plenty of opportunities. So they're going to have a couple practices with guys in their headsets, and those stars will probably play the bulk of the second preseason game, and I would think the third preseason game. So first preseason game, you young guys, you're playing the entire game. Don't look to the sideline for help. Nobody's going to save you. You got to be ready to go. And then they'll probably be limited in their reps. I mean, that's just the way – I just don't see – I feel like this is what they did last year. Like, the veterans played a big chunk of that second and third game. And then remember, there's almost 2 weeks after that last preseason game and their first game September 11th.
Well, that's when they're going to install the actual offense.
The real offense.
According to the caller yesterday.
Yeah.
This is a big shell game. They're just looking like they're installing this crazy Shanahan offense that totally doesn't work for them. And then once the media can't watch all of practice, then the real installation.
Yeah, it is funny, though. Like, even again, going back to when we talked to Bill, all those great opportunities. Remember those? We had great memories when we talked to Bill.
Oh,
like, I just left there.
I feel
always
like I
wanting
missed
more.
Out on so
much.
We're
going to play a little bit of those later on.
You guys talk so much about,
we
like,
speak highly
how
of them, right?
Look forward to all, like, week, all weekend.
Oh, yeah. We're not affected by it at all.
On other shows, you'd be like, oh,
Bill, thanks.
I wish we were asking
questions. No, I mean, I definitely wasn't, like, stressed out starting, like, Sunday following the game, just thinking about it. Like, it wasn't at all.
What question will I ask? Well, he would just slap me around. But my point to that was, Here comes the train again. Here comes the train again.
Here comes the T in the town.
Here comes the tree. Is that the orange line? Is the orange line? Is that just going running through? No?
That looks like the commuter rail.
I don't think the orange line goes to Framingham.
No, it does. The orange line doesn't go to Framingham. I totally forgot what I was going to say. But as far as preseason goes, like, think about it. College teams, none of these guys have multiple, practice games. They don't have preseason games. All the college football teams in the United States, they have an inter-squad scrimmage. They'll have but they'll never go. They got to be ready to go
Bill
the first game of the
last
week.
Year, actually, I think, when he talked
and I remember
about
going, yeah, well, what's the big deal? So maybe I just feel like, listen, he's morphed into so many different people, and he's changed his approach, and maybe that's the kind of style he's into.
All right, before we go to break, let me play Damian Woody, because he was there with Tannenbaum. Now, remember, Tannenbaum said that Mac Jones needs to play, that relationship with he and Matt Patricia can be worked on. This was Damian Woody talking about Mac Jones, whether he should play or not.
I think outside of procedural things, as far as the games are concerned, I think you get more out of joint practices, because obviously the competition is ratcheted up. Guys don't want to look bad going against the opposition, across from them. We know that Bill Belichick, he religiously works on situational football in practices. So I think the value for the Patriots is those joint practices.
Hmm. So, listen, I think I agree with him. I mean, I think we all agree with it.
Yeah.
I think the joint practices have been huge.
Yeah.
And I remember one year, too. Joint practices are huge. We all admit, everybody talks about the benefit of them. I remember one year they didn't have any. And we're saying, wow, that's a big loss. No, they're overrated. Like, that was the word out of Foxborough. Ah, they're overrated. We don't need them.
Yeah, they couldn't make it work.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
We don't need those things.
That was COVID, wasn't it?
They're not that important. Who cares? We don't get any much done there anyways. And then when they do have them,
the most important thing.
You know, I've never, 13 years, I never had a joint practice.
No, it's a new thing.
Wait,
no,
what?
They did it. They did it. Like, there was maybe half the teams did it, but it was like maybe one team. We wouldn't do two different teams. But I never had a joint practice with another team ever.
When you were with the Patriots, they didn't.
Had it with the Patriots, and it was 7 years in Seattle, 4 years in New England, team, and then Carolina. Never did we ever practice against anybody.
Your team.
It's your team.
Joint practices last summer is when Mac Jones. Won the job.
Well, Cam Newton sat out and was like, hey, they changed the offense again.
They did.
They came back and they changed the offense
Cam trying to learn the offense right now.
Remember Cam?
Oh, he'd love it. Boots and naked.
Don't you remember Cam pulled off the road to get some gas and they just kept going?
Yeah.
Remember
He's
that
like,
one?
Wait, oh, they're tricking me again.
Tricking me again. All right, Patriot fans, how do you feel? Doesn't seem like any of the starters are starting tonight. How interested are you in this game? 617-779-7937. Another train going through. When we come back. There's not many starters playing, but there's still some interesting guys. So who will we be looking at here tonight with the New England Patriots? It's Maloney, Foree, and Mago. We're down here at La Cantina in Framingham. Swing on by right off 135 Waverly Street. We'll talk more Pats next.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
This is Maloney, Foree, and Mago on WEEI.
All right, so it looks like no starting Patriots will be playing tonight against the New York Giants. I guess anything could change. We'll probably hear more reports as we get closer to it. But there's still some guys to watch. And I'm curious. Some of these names that you're looking at, other than maybe our undrafted free agents that we all drafted and don't want to lose the bet, what jumps off the page to you, Christian? I'll start with you. Who are you looking for tonight?
Well, I think for me, the obvious one is Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just easy. Listen, forget about the offensive linemen. Here's a guy that needs to break into the rotation somehow. And that's it for me on offense.
Really?
I mean, do I care what Yassir Durant does?
Well, let me give you two names on offense.
Go ahead.
You said that's it for you on offense. What about Kevin Harris and Pierre Strong Jr.?
Well, yes. I was going to say that the other two guys would have been those two backs, and I was going to lean towards Pierre Strong Jr. because I feel like he has a more, adaptable game that would kind of translate more to the passing game. That's me based on what he did in college. And defensively, I mean, I guess pick any of them, And I think you'll lean towards the corners, the young guys, the Jones brothers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I do think Kevin Harris, a sixth-round pick. Pierre Strong was the fourth-round pick, but still a couple of running backs. They drafted two. And you just sort of feel like, okay, is one of these guys, have a role this year? I mean, right away you saw Damian Harris, saw Ramondre kind of take a year off, or you saw the impact he has. So I think the running backs in Tyquan Thornton, again, it's the rookies, right? So I think that's pretty much offensively what you're looking at. Mego, what about you?
I'm looking at Jack Jones. You brought up the corners. Yep. I'm intrigued by Tyquan Thornton. lanky brethren of mine, and we've heard so much about the explosiveness that he's shown through training camp, through reports and videos on Twitter and everything. But I do want to see Jack Jones and what he has to offer, because that cornerback spot opposite of Jalen Mills is such a huge question mark. And I know that they're considering Malcolm Butler and they're considering Terrence Mitchell, but I'd like to see if somebody like Jack Jones can show some explosiveness there. I've heard some things from our very own Kyrie Thompson about him maybe having a little bit of ball hawkishness.
Well, I mean, yeah, and even even with Pierre Strong, like, as far as the draft goes and the combines goes, he had the fastest time at the combine, the 40. He had the fastest 40, 4.37. So, all right, I'm assuming they're going to put him in space. I'm assuming we're going to run an angle route, maybe a jerk route. I'm assuming they're going to try and motion him and then somehow pair him up with some stupid linebacker that has no idea or has the capabilities and athleticism to stay up with
him. Yeah. For me, I'm looking more of, and of course, like all the rookies this year you want to get your first eye on, but it's not just the rookies you want to get your first eye on. It's the 2021 draft class. Yeah, I want to get my first eye. Like Ronnie Perkins. Right, defensive end. Cameron McGrone, who some people have given him a red jacket. You know, if you, well, no, they got McGrone. Remember, he couldn't play last year. And the other guy is really Josh Bledsoe, another safety. I mean, we've been talking to Fitzy, like, even like last year, and he's mentioning McGrone. He's mentioning Bledsoe.
Oh, my God, McGrone is like the savior of the linebackers.
Right, right, so there's a lot of guys. Like, Anthony Jennings is another one. He's a few years back. But still, it's like there's some guys that not just in this class that we haven't really seen a lot of, but haven't really seen a lot of Anthony Jennings. Or I haven't seen anything, really, of McGrone and Bledsoe and Perkins. So, for me, it's like those guys. Not just this draft class, but previous ones that we haven't seen enough of.
No, I feel like the Patriots should be playing, like, you know, Northeastern, like the Red Sox will play. Like, their spring training games.
Yeah.
They'll play some college team. Like, this looks like a Red Sox, you know, NFL version of the Red Sox spring training team where none of the stars play.
So, that's the thing. So, now it's like we're all looking at these guys, but it's based on a performance. If the Giants are going to play their starters – and you look at some of these guys and you say, oh, man, they're getting dominated, right? Or because the D-line isn't getting anything, so the linebackers are linemen are on them all day long. Or, you know, the rookies are going up against, not that Daniel Jones is any good, right? But still, like, number one wide receivers in the NFL or wide receivers in the NFL. Same thing about all these guys. So do you judge them and say, oh, they can't play because they're going up against starters? Or if they play, go up
against...
We're
not result-oriented.
But if they go up against the backups that dominated, now we're back to, like, well, they should dominate them. We would hope that they would dominate because they're backups. So it's like it's hard. And this is what Bill can kind of just sort of hide. Like, if the game doesn't go well, it's like we saw a lot of good things today.
I remember, like, the coaches would always talk about, like, a good way of finding out, like, how good you are. I mean, maybe it's technicality, but if you are a vet and you are going against a rookie or a first or second-year guy, right, that is trying to make the team, you need to dominate that guy. Not, like, just get by, but they really want to see you dominate him. Like, take advantage of the situation. Same thing with, you know, with defense. If you're going against some scrubs, you should win all the time. It should be a no-brainer. So guys like Thornton who are going against, like, a starting cornerback or, you know, one of these defensive ends or whatever that are going against starting offensive line, that's a great opportunity for them to really be like, wow, like, he wasn't doing this in practice, but now we let him loose and – okay, check a box. Let's move him up the depth chart, and we'll give him more opportunities.
Based on nothing more than the reports you've seen out of training camp and videos and what you've heard and whatever, who are you highest on from this group of guys?
Who am I high on? The guys
who are
that
you
are
highest
playing?
On? Yeah, and who's playing?
Jeez. Listen, unlike you, like, we weren't able to go to an actual practice.
Oh, and I saw so much the day that I went
down
there.
You were on the ground. Okay, who's
got
that?
Some would say we chose not to.
They practiced in Christian's backyard. He's like, I could make it.
No, I mean, I think from what you heard, like Tyquan Thornton, Jack Jones, like some of those two guys in particular, I think are two guys that you've heard, you know, they've had their days when people have talked about them a lot. Marcus Jones, another one. I don't see his name on this list, but I'm guessing he's going to be playing somewhere.
You know what's
right?
A great indicator? And it usually shows up more for a defensive player. And I just remember, like, some of these – you know, Jonathan Joneses and this Malcolm Butlers, just as an example, undrafted free agents who ended up, like, when I was calling the games, like, who ended up showing up, and it was like, wow, okay, we're calling this guy's name a lot. Even though the ball wasn't going his direction, even though he wasn't, like, being picked on, they just always were around the football. Like, wherever the football was, like, they were around it, and good things were happening because they were getting to the ball. And to me, if I'm one of these guys – I'm like losing my mind. I'm playing like my hair is on fire just because I know even if I screw up on a screw up 100 miles an hour and they'll go, okay, good. Yeah. At least I don't have to tell them to try hard.
Yeah. All right, listen, let's go to the calls. Let's go to Cal and Quincy real quick. Cal, go ahead, buddy. You're on.
Hey, what's up, Lou? Foye, Mego? Hey, so listen, I'm going to trip in on Mr. Belichick. We all know how great of a coach he is. He's a turd in the punch bowl, but he's a great coach. He's kind of – I talked to a couple of professional athletes, and they're in the same conclusion that I drew, that he's kind of outdating himself with his scheme. He brought in some real creepy, like Patricia, Judge, creepy. His kid. Like, those coaches just don't do it. And Belichick himself, you know, every great coach has seen his days, like, you know, Shula and Knoll and Landry and guys like that. So it's like, I want to see this kid Zappy. You're talking about who you want to see over the quarterback. What's his name? Zappy?
Zappy, yeah.
Yeah, I want to see what he's got. You know, we had the kid there from Stidham, and we all thought he was going to be, you know, a good quarterback. And for some reason, we never saw the kid on the field. I don't want to see Brian Hoyer out there. Definitely, I don't want to see Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to see some young guys, and hopefully, you get a diamond in the rough. And like, you know, Belichick always does every year, he grabs an undrafted guy that makes the team, and it's like, you know, we'll see what's up. But I'm really excited about, you know, tonight and the beginning of football season.
Yeah, I think we all
are,
Cal. Yeah, I think we all are. Appreciate it. So, I agree with him when it comes to Hoyer. I remember, like, the year when Hoyer was here and it was Cam and Stidham. I'm like, I don't want to see Brian Hoyer play. Like, I don't. Like, no offense to Brian Hoyer because I know he's sure he's got to get some work, but I already know who he is.
Okay, but Lou, are you high on Bailey Zappe?
Aren't you curious?
Not really.
Why not?
I want to see Mac play. I don't care about Zappe.
Don't you think back in the day, people were like, are you really high on Tom Brady?
Oh, come a six-round pick.
There's a fourth guy on the
depth chart. You're comparing Bailey Zappe to Tom Brady?
In 2000, yes,
yeah,
I am.
In 2000, absolutely. 100%. Six-round pick?
Yeah, 100% of him.
Chubby?
Like in 2000, when he was drafted? Shape. And it was like you would rather see who was the backup that's been around forever that was on that team.
Okay, when Bailey Zappe wins his second Super Bowl, please play.
I know, but think about what you're saying, though. Like, I mean, you have the luxury of knowing what Brady did. But if you go back then and you look at Brady and his combine photo, and if you're a Patriot fan, you're going, this dude, and he's behind John Freeze. He's behind, I forgot who the other guy was, and he's behind, Drew Bledsoe. You're like, not going to work.
No, you don't want to see the backup.
Like he is. Why can't Billy Zappe?
First of all, it's Bailey.
So wait, you would rather walk.
That's why. That's why
Billy
right Bailey. There. That's why right
intrigued.
There. That's why
he's
there.
I call him Billy.
That's why we call him Billy.
Christian's so intrigued he doesn't know his first name.
That's why we just say Zappe.
Zappe.
So, Mago, you'd rather see Brian Hoyer play than Zappe?
I think it would give a better barometer of where guys like Tom.
Tyquan
Thornton are. You know, I'd rather see somebody who can sling the ball and get it to see what the receivers and other guys out there actually
are working
with.
So Brian Hoyer, to me, acts like a starting quarterback, and he plays a quarter, you know, and because Mac's not playing, and then Zappe gets the rest of it. And you get to watch, because I still think you can watch a guy. Like, I remember Jimmy Garoppolo, right, like at an awful camp. Like, every day you're like, oh, my God, this guy can't play. And then the game started, and he looked composed. He looked like he belonged. He wasn't stumbling over his feet or, you know, dropping back to pass and stumbling and falling down. He looked like he could play. And I just want to see that from Zappe because I already know what Hoyer is. I already know what he is.
We all know what Hoyer is.
All right, listen, let's take a break real quick.
Billy.
So every single year, there are always surprise cuts. There's always maybe a surprise trade. Are there a couple of those in place here with the New England Patriots that might surprise you? We'll talk about it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.